Hi, this is Justine Toe, and you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Well, it's that time of year again when we celebrate Anzac Day. On that day, we remember the sacrifice of thousands of veterans who fought for Australia. And of course, there's been many wars where that's happened, but Gallipoli looms large in our national memory. And the site in Turkey receives many, many visitors on Anzac Day, where there are all these ceremonies commemorating those who fought there and the sacrifice that they made. Now, Simon, I've never been to Gallipoli myself, but I think you have. Is that right?
I have. Yeah, it was a few years ago now, but it doesn't seem like that. And it's a fascinating place to go. I didn't go on Anzac Day itself, but every day of the year you'll find young Australians and Kiwis there who've come from all over the place. And it's a beautiful place. It's a bit strange because you remember this in our memory and you've brought up understanding the story there of terrible carnage and human loss. But you get there and it's this stunningly beautiful sort of rugged area with this aqua water below it. And the day I was there, it was beautiful sunshine, crystal clear water. It seemed sort of incongruous with the memory of the place itself.
Does Anzac Day have a lot of significance for you?
It does, in a way. I mean, I must admit, I was at a school that used to march in Anzac Day every year. And so it loomed large again in my sort of childhood. And I guess I've been brought up on those stories of Simpson and his donkey and the sacrifice and so on. I mean, I don't think it's overly significant in the sense that I'm not out there always at the marches and so on, but I do think it's an important day for various reasons.
We actually asked the people of Sydney whether Anzac Day had any special significance for them as well. Let's have a listen to what they had to say.
When I was a teenager, I was very concerned that I was glorifying war. As I got older, I guess I gained a greater understanding of the fact that there's been people in the past who've done a great service for Australia. I was a Girl Guide leader for a long time. I used to march with the guides. Now I march with my class of students at school.
It's not a glorification of war. It's a memory of people that lived on this earth and died. I am a Christian and I say my prayers every night for their souls. So I do think about it.
I think it's used by politicians to boost things that they shouldn't be doing, to put forward a version of history that probably isn't all that accurate. I mean, we're over in another country at the moment doing pretty violent things to people in their own homelands, just like we did in Gallipoli in the Second World War, in East Timor and throughout the Pacific. I think it's horrible when somebody's child dies at war, but I don't think they die for the reasons that we're told they die for.
So does Anzac Day have a special meaning for you?
Yeah, because my pop, he was in the Anzac War, I think, and he also fought in the Vietnam War, and I'm proud to be Australian, and I'm proud of what he'd done.
Do you do anything special on Anzac Day to mark the occasion?
Well, I pray for my pop that sometimes he feels better, because when he was in the war, he hurt himself. Like, there was, I think it was a bomb.
Grenade, yeah.
Yeah, a grenade went off and a lot of glass went in his back, so I hope he feels better. And also to God that all the Anzac people also died there, live in peace.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
Now, people have often expressed a concern that as war becomes like a really distant memory, and particularly Gallipoli, is relevant here, then attendance at dawn services or parades of veterans, or maybe the attendance at the Gallipoli site will actually shrink. But, you know, as you said, this isn't happening, is it?
Each year, it's amazing, especially on Anzac Day at Gallipoli. They just get thousands and thousands of people going to it. I remember when I went to Gallipoli, around me were heaps and heaps of Australians and Kiwis going along these backpacking adventures, and they were sort of making their way from European beer halls to the Gallipoli Peninsula in Turkey, and they fill the hostels around the place. It's really strange, actually. And I remember this time when I went there, I happened to be travelling with, and I wasn't with them, but they were on the same bus, a particularly obnoxious group of Australian travellers.
Sure.
I have to say. But even some of these guys were really overcome. It was like a spell had come over everyone when we got there. So we're hearing stories about this, but we're going to places that are very familiar in our memories, you know, Anzac Cove and Lone Pine, these sorts of places. And while people wandered around these grave sites and so on, you could just see those big guys kind of swallowing hard, wiping away tears, this sort of thing. It was an extraordinary thing to witness. And I'm told that this happens every day at this site. Strangely, the young people don't seem to have abandoned the commemoration of Anzac Day. And dawn services, again, this year, packed with lots of different people, as well as people making that pilgrimage to Gallipoli. It says something about us. I'm not sure exactly what.
How about we talk about why you think that young people are so drawn to this event?
It's hard to say, but I'm tempted to talk about a hunger for spirituality that I think this might represent. I read a bit of work from Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, who argues that a hunger for spirituality is a part of life for Westerners. And he says that it manifests itself in different ways. He says it's almost like a hidden spring that we've tried to suppress or concrete over, but it keeps popping up in different places and penetrating this sort of materialism of the West that's dominated the thinking for so long. And I think this might be partly what we see played out on Anzac Day.
Yeah, so you're saying in some ways that while institutional religion may not, you know, do it for people anymore, Anzac Day is an opportunity where, I suppose, religious ideas or thinking around death and sacrifice can kind of sneak through the back door.
Yeah, possibly. And in a way, it connects them with something larger than themselves, perhaps the sacrifice of a relative or, you know, the stories that they've been brought up with. I mean, there are a lot of skeptics and like with Christianity, revisionist historians who want to scoff at what they see as these lavish and contrived myths around Anzac Day. And of course, many Australians regard it as just another reason to have a holiday. But I suspect that for many people who participate in this, there's a hunger for being connected to something bigger, a big story.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that. I remember ages ago sitting in a lecture and the lecturer asked the group that was there, you know, what they would die for. He said that they might die for their friends and their family. But his point was that, you know, today there isn't much that people might die for. And he did this to demonstrate this idea of postmodernism, that we are no longer interested maybe in big stories of meaning and existence. And, you know, in the past we might have sacrificed our lives for these, but we don't really feel that need to any longer. Now, it's interesting because it's hard to tell whether this means life is so good because nothing demands our ultimate sacrifice, or, on the other hand, whether life is so meaningless precisely because we can't think of anything that we would actually die for. And I think what this does, and you've said this already, it creates a spiritual vacuum, you know, this hunger, as you say, for greater meaning. You know, I think that you're right in saying that Anzac Day is like a release valve for all this pent-up spirituality that we don't know what to do with. You know, I mean, modern life is a consumer wonderland in some ways. It's all pleasurable experiences that I can pursue, you know, I can do whatever I want, basically. But I suppose Anzac Day is also a reminder that all of this, you know, this consumer wonderland, it comes at a cost.
So, Margaret, we're outside at St Andrew's Cathedral and some people are laying crosses at this this field of remembrance. Can you tell us what this is about?
The field of remembrance is for all the either husbands, fathers, brothers, sisters, whoever it was during the war. They didn't have to die, they just had to be in the war, but they're all dead now. It's just our way of remembering it and remembering them all, writing a little note on the crosses to say they always loved and all that. Yeah.
So have you lost someone who's...
Yes, my husband died 7 years ago and he was in the army and he was a darling. And I miss him something terribly, and we all do, really. You know, you go into war widows and everybody has the same story. We all miss them. Yes, so he was in the 2nd First Anti-Aircraft. He was a gunner and had a bad time, but they, you know, they all died from war injuries. We've got young ones here, 23 and 24.
You mean widows who
widows,
are...
Widows, yeah. Yes, who from the Afghanistan war.
We look here, we've got lots of crosses, which, yeah. You know, I mean, the cross is a religious symbol. How do we think of
Yes, they do. But if you don't want a religious symbol, you can just have a plain one without a cross on it. You don't have to. Most of us put the cross on there because, I suppose, underneath we're religious.
The Centre for Public Christianity, Beyond Religion.
When you think of what happens on Anzac Day morning, it's such a sort of it's such opposed to a lot of what else we get in our life. It's not superficiality, things that are quick and loud and so on. This is sombre, It's early starts. It's listening to somber readings and hymns and so on. It's a hearkening back to a past that seems to have been lost. The Australian commentator Hugh McKay would agree with Tom Wright in terms of spirituality. McKay wrote a book a few years ago, The Ten Desires That Drive Us. And he identified the desire for something to believe in as a key desire. Regardless of the debates about God or whatever, he says that in the ever-expanding range and variety of religious faith and practice, the underlying truth is inescapable. There's a powerful human desire to believe in something in the realm of the non-material. And we can see this in the way that Anzac Day is commemorated. War memorials, you will have noticed, often have the old King James version of John 15:13 from the Gospel of John, you know, words that I reckon still stir the imagination of the most hardened cynic. You've read them on the war memorials. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is the ultimate sacrifice, giving of a life for another.
Yeah, well, this quote from John that you mentioned, it concerns the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. So the fact that this verse is inscribed on war memorials, and the fact that you've also said that at these ceremonies hymns get sung and all that sort of thing, it actually does show a resonance with the Christian story, doesn't it?
It really does. The John verse recalls the Easter story of sacrifice of one, Jesus, for everyone else. And of course, the Easter story doesn't end with Jesus' death, but with this sort of strange and ancient story of a resurrection, which really represents a glimmer of hope that death is not the end of the story. That's the Christian claim and hope. So if you take that Easter story seriously and you read it kind of next to the Anzac Day story of death and war and sacrifice, you can see a really powerful balm to that jolting finality of standing before a grave, whether it's at Anzac Cove or at Castle Hill, you know, whatever it might be. It reminds us that the grave isn't the last word on what it means to be human. And you can see that hope, you know, you see that at Gallipoli. I remember reading these inscriptions on the tombs, on the, you know, the headstones around the place at Gallipoli. Our dear son lost his life to find it, one of them said. Another said, not goodbye, but good night. It's part of this longing that we have, that Easter morning taps into, and Anzac Day is an outlet for, and that we experience in this sort of national scale, that longing that life will overcome death ultimately. And whether we're religious believers or not, and the claims of the Christian story will always be there to provide comfort and hope that one day all of this will be fulfilled and that death truly will not be the end.
Simon, they're so incredible, like, you know, these kinds of messages on the tombstones, you know, especially, you know, our dear son who lost his life to find it. I mean, there are some real Christian kind of connotations going on in there, aren't there?
Yeah, there really are. And even the pilgrimage to this place is a religious type event. We don't do this sort of thing much in anywhere else in our lives, but you know, you have to work pretty hard to get to Gallipoli from various places in Europe and even from Istanbul. And people do it over and over again. And they make this journey and they find, you know, a piece of earth that is very much a reminder of home in a very foreign place. And there's a time of great reflection, quiet. People tend to just go very quiet at these places. There's not many other places in our lives where we get to do that.
Yeah, in some ways, just when you were speaking, it made me think of church and how we go there every week, or Christians go there every week, and it provides a space for contemplation and for meditation and to think about more than what our life kind of is. And it does provide a space where these big questions of life and death and God and meaning can all flood in.
Yeah, and certainly we're reminded each time of that story, of this one death, that this sacrificial death that opens up the way of life for everyone else. You know, there's a part of us that's always longing for Easter morning.
And this idea of life, right? Overcoming death.
Life overcoming death. And so Anzac Day might be the outlet that allows us to experience that longing on a national scale, and what we do with it is up to us. That longing for life to overcome death, it seems to be always with us, whether we're religious believers or not. And I just want to remind people that the Christian story will always be there with a promise of great hope and comfort that one day all of this will be fulfilled and that death will not be the end. It's a great story of hope. Anzac Day might open us up to that. That's one possibility.
For more Christian perspective on contemporary life, publicchristianity.org.
Well, next time we've got New Testament scholar Rick Watts, who's talking about what the Christian story means to him and how it impacts every area of his life. So we hope you can join us for that discussion.